Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Bet River Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready?
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday on The V Show. Now here's Bob Valdano and Mike Pratt.
Get ready.
And this is Mike Pratt, and hopefully Bobby V will be back next Friday, and we have the Sunday morning hangover crew in. They've enlightened me on many things here. So much of it has been off the air. So,
trust, you got more contacts than us, brother. You're over here. You're filling us in on all the scoop on
all
that.
Kinds
It'll
of
be
stuff.
In my tell-all book that'll come out 20 years from now.
Oh, so, that's good. Just wherever I am at that point in time, send me a copy.
Oh, right? Yes. You'll be my forward on there.
Well, let's first of all, I've got to bring up one thing. I think it's fascinating. Before we go back to the portal and the G League, the Tokyo Olympics. We talked about this previously. I don't know if you've read about it or not, but Nikki V, do you know how many of the population in Japan has been vaccinated as we speak?
I'm going to Price is Right this. I'm going to go with $1, Bob, 1%.
You overheard my
comment. Yeah, I totally did.
You dog. I could tell by the look on his face before he delivered the punch.
I had that spit-eating grin on my face, yep.
Yeah, 1% of the population, and the international committee is willing to vaccinate athletes who haven't been when they get there. No foreign traders. None of us can go. I already had my ticket bought. You know, I can't go. And when they have the relay of the torch, you can't cheer. And that is, you know, that's something that is ingrained in your mind when you think of the Olympics, passing the torch and how happy people are, how excited people are. You can't have it.
It's so crazy to me. I mean, we talked about the iconic, especially here to make it hyper-local with Muhammad Ali and that iconic of him taking the torch in Atlanta. But it's just fascinating to me that, A, they're still doing it, like that they're still going to, because they've put so much money. I mean, these are billions upon billions of dollars of infrastructure that they're putting into these cities and getting prepared for this. And it's just, I don't know what it's going to look like at all. I mean, the NBA Finals, obviously, is going to go deep into July this time. So, obviously, the people that are playing in the Finals probably aren't going to play in the Olympics anyways. But I don't know what that's going to look like in July if you're going to make it, especially like with basketball and things like that. But it is going to look extremely different. But athletes train their entire lives for this, too. So, sure. It's just, I don't know what the right answer is on this. But that is 1%. 1%. That's crazy to me that that's... Is that like their comfort level of getting vaccinated, or just who knows?
But and does it? I mean, does it at the end of the day? Does it matter per se?
Yeah, they're not going to have any access to any of these athletes to begin with.
So that's a good. I mean, we've seen what they were able to do in the men's and women's college basketball tournaments, for instance, where. You know, especially on the women's side, where it was in the state of Texas, which had completely opened up and kind of relaxed everything, and they were still able to keep the players and coaches and everyone that was in the quote-unquote sort of bubble separated from everyone. So I think the Olympics will be able to do that. I think they already do that even without it being a COVID year with the Olympic Village and kind of having a chance to keep the athletes more separate from the general public anyway. So I think the Olympics, maybe more than a lot of places, are more sort of pre-cut out to keep athletes and spectators separate, which is obviously something they're going to want to do.
Now, Nick, you do the Louisville women's basketball. Did you go to the tournament?
I went for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. So okay. I did the first two games from here and then flew down there, you know, separate. Couldn't be around the team or anything like that at all.
Or the court.
Or the court, as it were. Yeah. Right. As it turns out, staying here might have been a smarter decision for the whole thing. But, yeah, so it was good. I'd never been to San Antonio. It's a really neat town.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
It's a great town. So it was cool, but it was different for sure.
It's so different to somebody like yourself that has been a part of it internally the other way. I mean, you were on the inside previously,
exactly
the way it used to be, and so it's just like Tom and I talked about doing the games, and we went to the SEC tournament, not in the team hotel, not on the team charter, whatever, and of course we did all the games, road games from Lexington, so it is really, I mean, it was. I don't know how to describe it, except...
you don't want to do it again.
Exactly.
That's the best way to describe it.
But you didn't... it was hard to get pumped up.
Yeah.
It was hard. You had to pump yourself up. I can imagine the players, what they had to do.
Yeah.
But of course, they're young, and they are still playing, and they're used to playing without a lot of fans. I mean... A big crowd is a
thrill. It gives it a jolt. Like, there's a jolt that's missing. Like, you don't want to look. I think a lot of people pointed to COVID throughout the entire, and I think it was a part of it. But these guys are playing pickup ball at midnight throughout the day. But it's different, and that's where I think, you know, quite frankly, the more talented and older teams that didn't have to have that crowd or that extra jolt, and I think it affected Kentucky. Like, I think somebody like BJ Boston who. You didn't get the Kentucky experience when you go to Kentucky and don't have 22,000 there that are cheering you on when you're down. And it's going to provide a little bit of a jolt, but I think I can buy into that a bit. But, yeah, it just had to be different for some of these kids that got put in, you know, quite frankly, the trance of going to a place like Kentucky. It was just different this year. And I think everybody that was – there was multiple people affected by it, not just the broadcasters, the players, but the fans, obviously, that have had it at their season tickets for generations. I hope it gets back to normal next year. I think we're crawling closer to some sense of normalcy. You're seeing it with some of the soccer matches that are starting to happen. You're seeing it with baseball. I was texting with Worldwide, and he, like, went out to a Rockies game, and he said it's about – 20,000 out there. That feels normal. That feels normal when you start getting to that.
Yeah, and you've got the Rangers filling up their ballpark. You have the NBA announcing that they're planning on full arenas for the 21-22 season, which I think is a really positive thing, too. So.
And to both of your points about the crowd, in particular with a less experienced team, the Notre Dame game, Kentucky's start, I've always felt the 1-6 start doomed them just because of the structure of their team as far as the experience in making big plays and getting over the hump at the right time. And Mintz made some big shots, make no mistake about it. But the Notre Dame game, I think, the one game that I thought that the home crowd could have really, really helped. I mean, played very poor in the first half, but came charging back and could have won the game in the last seconds. And if that crowd, the typical crowd, would have been there, they'd have been on their feet, stomping their feet, cheering the whole deal. And that game, if you win that game the way you win it coming back, and you win it in the last 30 seconds or minute, that does a lot to change your tune when you're off to a bad start, right?
And I've kind of thought, you know, I mean, Olivier Saar had the jump shot. It was on the rim. It almost went in. You know, if that shot drops instead of rimming out, how different is the season?
I've
kind of thought that too. Like, you know, if that goes in and all of a sudden it's a completely different outlook, and then maybe the mojo goes the other way and you become the team that is great in the last 4 minutes and you win a ton of close games and instead of kind of going the other way. I've wondered that too. That one shot that almost went, like, if it had fallen, what would have happened?
Well, and I know a bunch of these places, they did it so they could have fans there. I completely understand that, and for TV purposes too. But it had to be so eerie playing in a 22,000-seat arena with, a handful of people. Like, that's just bizarre. And it's like, I understand it's TV. I understand it was to get as many people in there as possible. But these places and arenas that weren't allowing fans in, like, just play in your practice facility. I understand it's for TV and you can't do that. But I think that is something that definitely, it was just bizarre. You're playing in an empty, you know, 22,000 seat arena. That had to be so bizarre this year. So hopefully we never have to do that again.
And to your point, to show you how some of us look at this thing, when you did the broadcast, the place was full, you're down on the floor, you're warm, sometimes you had to take your coat off, okay? Now, that's a little different situation when you're right on the floor, but you're warm, but a lot of people sit there. I didn't get cold. This year, with nobody in there, I'm on the floor, I had to make sure I wore a sweater.
Everybody's okay. Breathing that hot air on you, man.
No, there was it was so damn cold because there was nobody in it, in the place, and they would open and shut the doors, and there weren't enough people to suck up that cold air before it got to you. And, man, I'm telling you what. But, well, let's you brought up, Phil, top 20 coaches deal, or we were into the portal.
We're out of
the portal, into the G League.
We're all over the place.
The value of players, college versus G League.
Yeah, and we got some texts in here that were agreeing and giving their thoughts on that. 437-9680, Mike Pratt, Nick Kern, Nick Valvano, Phil Baker in for Bobby V. It is Fast Break Friday presented by Ale8. Let's see. Nick, do we have the top? This is a Jay Billis sound of him talking about his top 10 coaches. I don't know how many coaches on there. Maybe you could do it of your lifetime and things like that, because I think it's fascinating who was on this list, who wasn't on this list. I know a lot of people here locally had some issues with who was on the list and who wasn't, so we can dive into that as Nick is pulling up. But I'll knock out some text coming up here on the UPS Jobs text line, 437-9680. I think the portal is best for the players, but I legit hate it. Yeah, I think that's a lot of people are feeling that way. A couple others coming down. Let's see. Hope your dad is doing well. Just putting some pain. Wanted to give my 2 cents on the kids that picked the portal. A team that coaches and the fans will have to watch and not burn a bridge with a recruit that doesn't pick their school. You never know when they may leave after a year and may want to pick their second choice. So that's something else that you got to think of. It's just all these, you come down to the wire. I think you and Dan, and I've heard Marcus tell stories as well, talking about, you know, an hour before they were committed to a school. Like, they were committed. And then in that course of an hour, they changed their mind. So it's like, can you burn that bridge with, the, you know, the because you if it doesn't work after a year, you may be seeing them.
Well, to your point, the kid from West Virginia that was sitting out, Kentucky was his second choice.
And
so
there it is.
They fell back to him. So, I mean, that's a good point. What do we got, Nick?
Yeah, this was, as Phil was alluding to, I think this was from yesterday. Jay Billis released his top 10.
And it's getting the reaction like we thought it would. So everybody's right. Losing their mind. Strebel and Andy were talking about this. Stirring the pot, baby. Yep.
It's a nice little cap to the basketball season. It's a perfect transition to summer radio from, you know, the college basketball season. So it's about 3 minutes and change, but it's good stuff. So Jay Billis yesterday.
Retirement of Roy Williams announced a few days ago. The question of who are the top 10 college basketball coaches during my lifetime has been asked. So I'm going to give you the top 10 college basketball coaches just in my lifetime. Let's not go back too far. I'm not that old. But we're going to start with number 10. And it's either going to be, for me, it was for Jay Wright of Villanova or Mark Few of Gonzaga. And I'm going to go with Mark Few on this one. Because of what Mark Few has accomplished in the last 20 years, and especially over the last 6 years. It's 5 years in a row that now Mark Few and Gonzaga have won over 30 games, and that's never happened in the history of Division I basketball. Mark Few's built a powerhouse program at Gonzaga, and just amazing. Number nine, Clarence Big House Gaines of Winston-Salem State, an icon in the game of basketball, an innovator, and a pioneer. Clarence Big House Gaines, one of the best ever in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Number eight, Tom Izzo of Michigan State, won the national championship in 2000. Tons of Final Fours, Big Ten championships, also in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Tom Izzo, not only one of the best college basketball coaches ever, but one of the best coaches ever in American sport. Number seven, John Thompson of Georgetown. Won the national championship in 1984, multiple Final Fours, and you talk about a pioneer and one who mentored so many coaches throughout his coaching career. And sadly, we lost Coach Thompson just this last year, but one of the truly great people, and truly great coaches in the history of the game. Number six, Jim Calhoun of UConn, started his coaching career out at Northeastern, coached Reggie Lewis there, and then built an absolute powerhouse at UConn. Big East championships, Final Fours, three national championships, one of only a handful of coaches to have done that. Number five, Roy Williams. He had a Hall of Fame career at Kansas and then went to North Carolina and had another Hall of Fame career where he won three national championships for the Tar Heels, 2005, 2009, and 2017. Number four, Roy Williams' mentor at North Carolina, the great Dean Smith. He won a gold medal in the 1976 Olympics, the 1982 National Championship, the 1993 National Championship, a great innovator, came up with the Carolina Way. Dean Smith, one of the great coaches ever in any sport. Number three, Bob Knight, coached at West Point and took a program that hadn't won games on the road and turned West Point into a winner. Had them in the NIT semifinals, just an amazing basketball coach, then went to Indiana, won three national championships, set records in the Big Ten that are unapproachable in a lot of ways. Number two, the guy I played for at Duke, Mike Krzyzewski. He has been the gold standard for the last 40 years and has done an amazing job, first at West Point, then coming to Duke and building, talk about a powerhouse that he's built at Duke, really an amazing job. Five national championships. And number one, there's nowhere to go other than the Wizard of Westwood, John Wooden. 10 national championships in 12 years. I grew up in Los Angeles, and every once in a while you'd hear somebody say, yeah, but he had Lou Alcindor and Bill Walton. Yeah, he did. And he won five national championships with those two all-time greats. But remember, he won five national championships without them. John Wooden, the greatest coach in college basketball history.
That's an interesting, and before I get into my spiel, what did you have there, Mr. Baker?
It's just funny. The Mark Few, I understand he's the trendy thing. If you're going based off, you got to win a championship, right? I mean, again, we're in Louisville. I understand that. But Rick Pitino, not on there. Like that.
Well, how about Denny Crum?
Well, I was going to get to the next one.
Denny Crum, John Calipari. You know,
that's exactly what I was going to go with next. It's just like you're going to put Mark Few on there, yeah. Who, like, again, I guess he's the trendy pick now because he went undefeated up until the championship game, but he still hasn't won the Lusa Prize.
Sure, but he wasn't the only one on the list. I mean, there's more criteria than winning a championship. Obviously, you put Clarence Big House Gaines on there. I don't know.
It's his personal record book, his personal list. I get it. It's creating content here.
Lives in North Carolina, in Charlotte. But I've always maintained this, that it's very difficult to compare teams and players and coaches outside of a 10-year range because the world changes. Your life changes. So those circumstances that reflect on a team, a coach, a player, it all changes, and it's not a fair apples to apples. So, I mean, it's fun to do, and Jay's a good friend and like Jay, but there's people on there I wouldn't put on mine.
Well, who is yours?
I was going to say, you're kind of putting you on the spot, but you think you can come up with?
You can do 10, you can do maybe 5 for those that are maybe on this list and some that maybe aren't.
Well, I'm just going to throw some people out there that you might just consider. I'm not going to rank mine. Gee, back in the day, this is why you have a hard time sometimes. Hank Iba. What about Hank Iba? He was pretty daggone good.
I say this with truly the highest level of respect. Your sample size is a little bit bigger than Jay's. You've been around a little.
Yeah.
Seen a couple more things.
And what I have seen people, the game has changed. So the game that Clarence Big House Gaines coached is different than the game they're playing now.
No doubt.
And so I think that a guy like Hank Iba, Adolf Rupp, Frank McGuire was very instrumental back in the day of basketball in the South, in the state of North Carolina. Okay, what about what's his name? Coach Texas Western, that beat Kentucky in '66. Haskins.
Yep.
You know, I know he only won one championship, but how many has Few won? Okay,
the big zero, baby.
Denny's won two, right?
Yeah, okay. It's just funny to me that like there's just this love fest with Mark Few, and again, Andy and Strebel talked about this. If that were Calipari that didn't have one, I mean, think about that.
Well, it was when he got to Kentucky.
Well, exactly,
yeah.
But it's just that same angst that has been to Cal all these years. I'm just like, where's that energy toward Few because he hadn't won the big one.
I don't disagree with any of that, like, but I do think it's his biggest calling card, maybe just the fact that he's taken Gonzaga. I mean, Kentucky was Kentucky before Cal.
Well,
Louisville was Louisville before Patino. Look, I agree with you. I think you need to have at least one. I always get a little annoyed with the rings, you know, argument where it's always that's the end all be all.
Put your plus minus on the rings.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I always get a little miffed by that. But in this case, I do think that definitely plays a part. But I mean, the fact that Gonzaga was like moments away from leaving Division One to now being a perennial powerhouse. I feel like that has to be a major, major factor.
Well,
right?
but if you'll Google the coach before Few took over, it wasn't like Monson is his name. He left there to go to Minnesota. He really got the thing going.
Yeah, Mark Few didn't take over like a dying Baylor. Program. Right, Baylor. Exactly.
I mean, if you want to talk about somebody that took chicken salad or chicken what into chicken salad, then you have to look at Drew. I mean,
there was an actual murder.
Oh, man.
Literally a murder.
There was.
That was a mess. But, and I'm not knocking Few, but again, I go back to what was the world like when Hank Iba, when Adolph Rupp coached, when Frank McGuire coached, Haskins pretty much is the guy that brought a team and changed the way college basketball was played from a racial standpoint. And he won a championship. You know, his record may not be as good as some of them, but he did something in his career that was really special.
And I think, and by the way, I said Clarence Big House Gaines hadn't won a title. He won one. It was a Division II national title, and I was thinking D1, so wanted to clean that up. But I would have put, like, before Mark Few and before even Tom Izzo, I think, like, I would have gone Jay Wright.
Because, where was he?
That was the debate for the 10th spot. Yeah. So that was one of the things. Yeah, that I would definitely Mark Few.
I think I would put Jay Wright above Mark Few and Tom Izzo. You know, I know championships aren't the be all end all, but you know, Jay Wright took over a Villanova program that, you know, I know they won that championship and everyone remembers it back in 1985, but what had it really done since then? And I think, you know, he sort of breathed new life into it and has really rebuilt that into a premier program in the country. And I think he's got to be, if I'm talking about coaches in sort of this time period of like the Mark Few and Tom Izzo contemporaries, I would put Jay Wright right at the top of that list, given everything he's been able to do.
Well, just look what he did. I mean, Rick Pitino, obviously we're biased here with Kentucky Louisville, but just seeing Iona and the long layoff that he had, it's just Pitino, like baffling to me.
I agree, by the way, that Pitino and John Calipari and Denny Crum should all be on there. But
same.
But I was just thinking that Jay Wright's another one that I'm kind of like, wow, I would have put him probably over. I think I would have him over Mark Few and maybe even over Tom Izzo.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Before you ask the question, I'm going to ask all three of you just a question that I know you probably don't have the answer, but I want you to look it up because I think this guy's so impressive. But one of the texters mentioned Don Donaher at Dayton.
There it is. I have a new sounder. I forgot Johnny Sales gave me a great new Dayton sounder.
Okay.
We'll debut it next week.
A dear friend of mine and a terrific basketball coach. And how about Jim Valvano?
Sure.
You know, the guy won a championship.
He was kind of, of course I'm biased. You know, obviously a big upset, but he was pretty innovative with defense. And if you want to look at the business aspect of it, he was one of the pioneers to actually get a sponsorship from a shoe company. So, I mean, he did have some lasting impacts. It wasn't just, obviously the V Foundation and that incredible win in 83. So, I mean, I I'm not sure I'd put him in the top 10, but he's in the conversation. Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so I've got a name for you guys to Google and check out. Won two championships. It was at a regionally located school around here. Two championships. His name is Ed Jucker. Look him up. Got won two national championships, right?
And do you want us to guess where this was? Or?
Well, I know you got your pad out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm over here.
It's at Cincinnati.
Yeah, I was going to say, you had the Dayton lead-in.
And he didn't have Oscar. Oscar came before him.
They were back-to-back, right?
Yes, legendary Oscar Robertson couldn't win a national championship as great a player as he was. So Ed Jucker takes a team of you know, good players, but not Oscar Robertson, wins back-to-back. How about Fred Taylor at Ohio State wins a championship with Jerry Lucas, John Havlicek, Siegfried. I mean, these guys are all good
coaches. And this was, just to give a precursor, this was in his lifetime.
Sure.
So I love hearing, like, because I'm with you.
Sure.
These coaches, like these titans of the game, get forgotten, and it's important. Like, especially, that's why I love the 30 for 30. I mean, I love going down the wormhole, just the history of college basketball and everything that's out there. But, no, it's just fascinating to me that, like, he could say that, and especially, A, he lost to Denny Crum in Louisville in 86, but then Rick Pitino, I mean, like, what?
Yeah, that one's still...
That was baffling to me.
Is it the scandals? Like honestly,
it's just tough to rank. You know what I mean? It's tough to pick 10. There's a lot of good coaches.
He's getting the reaction that he wanted from it right now.
Right.
And his mentions are a bloodbath right now.
I can't imagine. Can I throw a modern name out there? And I don't think he's on the list, but I want to know where you guys think just how far he missed it. But Tony Bennett, where would you put him? Just because, I mean, he did get a title. I mean, I know UVA also has history with Ralph Sampson and everything. You know, they have history, but he basically kind of just came. I've never seen a coach commit more to a more boring style of basketball. But I mean, they buy into it down there. He's gotten UVA to, I mean, they give standing ovations to shot clock violations and everything like that. I mean, how far off of the list
is that part of your criteria of putting him in this list?
What?
Just what you said.
Well, I feel like he's a name. When you mention the top 15 current coaches, I think he's definitely on the list.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I would say top 15. So, top 10.
I'd say he's kind of in that Jay Wright tier, but just a little bit below. No, just a little bit below.
Okay.
That's why.
Okay.
I'm not saying he's in the top 10. Okay. I just want to know how far off. I put him like right at 15.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to kind of, I was kind of wondering where you guys thought.
I would go with that. The other thing about comparing eras, and Nick Curran agrees with me on this, comparing eras. For example, back in the day, they took buses to games. They bused 7-8 hours, or they took trains.
Right.
You know, they took trains. In the Big Ten, I know even into the 60s, they would take a train to Minnesota. They would go to Northwestern, Ohio State would, and go to Northwestern, then go on to Minnesota. And now they charter everywhere. It's just it's so hard to compare.
The resources that you have, the dietitian, like it's crazy how much they put in to that. But no, I'm with you in the sense that the coaches now, because we've talked about this a ton and you saw it firsthand, and I think it's the first domino that you're beginning to see with what are the faces of college basketball from a coaching standpoint with Roy Williams. The next 5 to 6 years are going to be fascinating to me. Just fascinating to see what happens with these big-time, massive programs. I mean, you're much closer to the program than Nick and I, but I mean, Cal, obviously the game's changed. He's still, in my opinion, up there on the Mount Rushmore of like college basketball right now, what's going on, and faces, the most visible faces that you're probably seeing being at a program like Kentucky. But then you see, okay, like how much longer does he have? Roy Williams has out there. I think Myron Metcalf.
How about Boeheim?
He's 70. Isn't he older isn't he older than Roy Williams?
He's 76, Boeheim? I think. 77.
And then they had that deal in place with the Washington coach where he was going to succeed.
Mike Hopkins.
Yeah. And he was just like, well, this ain't working out.
This is gonna take forever.
Yeah, it's just they're gonna have to pry him out of the chair up there. But who's these next, like, you're about to toss the keys, the guy's like Bennett, Jay Wright. Then after that, like, who's the next up and comer that you is the face of college basketball from a coaching standpoint? I don't know.
Well, to your point, those guys make so much money, and as Pops likes to say, you can't money whip those guys anymore. So if you have an opening at North Carolina or Kentucky or Louisville, okay, and you want Jay Wright. Well, first of all, he's probably not moving.
Right.
Second of all, you can't money whip him.
Oh,
you know, 20 years ago, you could money whip somebody into a move.
You're familiar with the administration. You understand what you have, and that my head still hurts from taking those calls on Sundays of talking about getting Billy Donovan or Jay Wright when Rick Pitino. I was like, hey guys, remember the relationship that Billy Donovan and Rick Pitino had? It's a father son type relationship. Ain't happening. Like, know who you are. Chris Mack at the time, it was even Greenwood Jurich was here, was the top guy that people wanted.
Yes,
and guess what? They went out, and that's what top six, seven programs do. You go out and get it. Now, I think the landscape has changed massively when you're seeing assistant coaches. Because, I mean, think about, like, with people with Hubert Davis. Like, people were just like, how does Carolina basketball not have it bringing a head coach in there? But they like to keep it in the family. They like to bring, but that the notion of saying you have to have head coaching experience to be at a program like North Carolina, those days are over. Like, you're seeing it firsthand right now. Those days are over.
All right, Phil or Nick, this one's for you. This is Ryan.
How you doing, Mike? How you doing, Nick? Guys, I'm going to throw a coach's name in the past. I know Mike remembers him, but you all won't. Babe McCarthy, coach at Mississippi State. I know you've heard the history of Texas Western Kentucky, that Texas Western recruited seven black players, but they had white players, but they played the seven black players in the 66 game. But Mississippi State won some SEC. They were not allowed to go to the NCAA tournament and play against African American players. So in 1963, they snuck out of town and played Iowa Chicago. They lost, but they had a great team. And Bailey Howe played for the Boston Celtics, I believe. And Coach Mike and Haskins were women's coaches before they come men's coaches. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate the call. The insight, Babe McCarthy did do that, and they did have a terrific team. Later on, coached the Kentucky Colonels. Dan talked about him earlier this morning. So we'll pick this back up after a break. We're going to kick it to you, Mr. Val Vano.
All right, we'll do it. You're listening to Fast Break Friday. Mike Pratt, joined by the SMH crew of Phil Baker, Nick Curran. We'll have a Westwood One update from the Masters coming up in a couple of minutes. You're listening to the Fast Break Friday on emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios at 680-1057 and everywhere on the PNV network. Keep locked here.
None, not, nothing, diddly squat, zilch, nil, not a zip. It doesn't matter how you say zero, we've got something for you. Meet Ale 80 Sugar. Same great ginger taste with a brand spanking new look. The drink for those who want to indulge and find their calories elsewhere. Open one for yourself and you'll see a whole lot goes into zero. Ale 80 Sugar. Zero sugar. 100% Kentucky.
Hi, this is Mike Pratt. Healthy people live with high standards, which is why I take Evercure CBD. Evercure products are only made from the sweetest flowers of premium CBD hemp grown in Kentucky. When you taste this full spectrum distilled CBD oil, you will realize why Evercure CBD is Kentucky fine bluegrass made. It is truly a local treasure. It works. Purchase your Evercure at evercurecbd.com. Enter Mike P at checkout to receive 10% off your purchase.
I'm a police officer. My 8-year-old always asks me, "Dad, did you help people today?" And most days, I do help people. But too often, I can't help people who make poor decisions, like texting and driving, or not bothering to wear a seatbelt. Be safe, Kentucky. Buckle up and put the phone down.
Paid with funds through the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety.
Do you suffer from peripheral neuropathy in the hands or feet, continual numbness, tingling or burning sensation, balance problems, decreasing the quality of life? This is Mike Pratt, University of Kentucky Basketball Hall of Famer. I am here to talk to you about Dr. Anthony Sears, author of Your 21st Century Doctor. One issue that has long frustrated Dr. Sears, that many neuropathy sufferers are unaware of, is the potential dangerous side effects of the prescription drugs that they are using. They are unaware of recent studies that reveal the very drugs they're taking are actually making the condition worse. Dr. Sears' passion is showing patients how to reverse their neuropathy and live without the fear of the inevitable downward spirals created by the disease itself and the typical cocktail drug approach. To learn more, I invite you to his free seminar, Blueprint to Neuropathy. This seminar is free. Seating is limited. Call now to reserve your spot, 1-888-655-PAIN. Again, 1-888-655-PAIN.
My name is John Veronese, owner of Veronese, Riverhouse, and Levy Restaurants. I've been part of Commonwealth Bank and Trust family since 2007. CB&T showed me how to use what was already in my business to help me grow my business. The people at CB&T support me and so many other local businesses. They're friendly, fast, and fair. I'm a little bit of a risk taker, but they stand behind me like family. When it comes to my business, having CB&T as a partner is like having a banker in the family.
See more business banking stories at bankerinthefamily.com.
Basketball is entering the final month of the regular season, and DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Pick any basketball team to win their next game, and if during that game the team of your choosing hits a three, you bring home $100 in free bets. That's 100 to 1 odds. Teams have been hitting threes at an unprecedented pace, so get in on all of the action with DraftKings Sportsbook before this offer ends. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code WHBE when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code WHBE for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only, new customers only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Hi, I'm Mike Pratt, here to tell you about Premier Packaging, a locally owned business that specializes in packaging, shipping, and logistics. Since 1984, Premier Packaging has taken a straightforward approach you can trust. With shipping costs on the rise, their team of professionals will work with you personally to minimize costs and increase your bottom line. From inbound, outbound, storing, and picking, Premier Packaging has solutions for your businesses, large or small. Visit primpack.com and sign up for a free assessment. Premier Packaging, this approach makes a difference.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
and Doug.
Limu, keep peddling. We got to build our endurance to let more people know that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance, so you only pay for what you need.
Pick up the pace, bird legs.
Hey, don't talk to Limu like that.
I'm not. I'm talking to you.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Get a customized quote at libertymutual.com.
Injured in a car accident? Visit suedistracteddriver.com.
If you've been married for a few years and are ready to make your anniversary truly unforgettable, this is the week.
Because it's Wedding Band Week at Davis Jewelers. I'm Ashley Davis.
And I'm Hank Davis, inviting you to come shop thousands of diamond anniversary and eternity bands for her.
Layer on your love with stackable diamond anniversary bands starting at just $599. Or upgrade his band with our special guests Noam Carver, Blue Royale, and Carlex have flown in all their latest collections for you both.
Buy your diamond anniversary rings during Davis Jewelers Wedding Band Week, and not only do you get our best Davis price...
We'll celebrate in style with dinner for two at Volare by award-winning chef Josh Moore as our gift.
But hurry, Davis Jewelers Wedding Band Week ends Saturday at 5 p.m.
This is the week to buy your anniversary rings.
Because love
and wedding bands,
it's what we do.
Minimum purchase required. See store for full details. Davis Jewelers, Louisville's largest fine jeweler. Forest Green Boulevard, just off North Hurstbourne Parkway.
And we are back. This is Fast Break Friday on the V Show. And we've got the Sunday morning hangover group, two Nicks and a Phil, and Mike Pratt here. We're having a good time talking about a little bit of everything.
It's a nice mix.
Yeah.
Do you think this is Western enough for... This is Knights of Sidonia by Muse. Do you think it's Western enough for your buddy Dan Issel?
No, but I like it.
Okay. I love.
We'll play that next week. Make a note to Cream.
Okay, all right, we'll see.
You have to lay out for Jack exactly what you want to play, because his taste in music, it's an ongoing thing that we say on Sunday. He's got a lot to learn. He's just always locked into sports. He doesn't listen to any music. So that's why it's basically 2003 pop is what he usually plays.
And you're so right, because the first day, Monday of this week, we talked about Motown, and he looked at me like I was talking about a Chevrolet.
You got a foot growing out of your forehead.
He probably thought that was like a Division II basketball school. But yeah, we love Jack. I don't know if he cares about golf, but I know a lot of people.
If there's gambling involved, he cares about it. He goes straight down the Second Street Bridge, places his bets, and they come straight back.
Yeah, let's head out to Augusta.
From the Augusta National Golf Club, Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the Masters. I'm Ted Emmerich. Second round ongoing, Justin Rose made the turn, and he started to turn it around. He was 3 over par midway through. His 4-shot 18-hole lead evaporated, but Rose with a birdie at 13, and he was eyeing another one at the next hole.
This putt for birdie at 14, back up the hill, just inside 25 feet, gets it started out on the left, breaking right, looks good, and it does go down. That was with pace right there, so that's back-to-back birdies now for Justin Rose, and now he's just 1 over for the day and back to 6 under.
Dennis Paulson the call on Sirius XM, and Rose has the outright lead again at 6 under, 1 shot better than Mark Leishman, Bernd Wiesberger, and Tony Finau at 4 under. You're listening to coverage of the 2021 Masters on Westwood One.
If I'm not commuting anymore, where do I really want to live?
While you handle life's questions, Merrill Guided Investing helps you manage your portfolio and invest for your next move, with the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/investing goals to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner, and Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor, member SIPC. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
911, what's your emergency?
There's a train that just hit a car.
Sir, what is your location? Look around for a street sign, sir.
It's 8th and Orchard. 8th and Orchard.
Okay, very good. 8th and Orchard. Sir, help is on the way.
Why would he do that? The train still doesn't stop. You have to get there now.
At a railway crossing, even if the engineer sees you and hits the brakes, it can take a mile for the train to stop. And for you, that's too late. Stop. Trains can't. Paid for by NHTSA.
Let's check the leaderboard, sponsored by Prevagen. Prevagen is the most recommended memory support brand by pharmacists. Justin Rose in the lead here in the second round. 6 under par. He's 1 over today through 14. Mark Leishman, the only man at 5 under, 1 back. Leishman started the day with 3 straight birdies, 3 more on the second 9, and Leishman is playing hole number 18 right now. Bernd Wiesberger is in the clubhouse, a 6 under 66. He's 4 under for the tournament and 2 back, along with Tony Finau, who is rolling, 6 under today through 11 holes. Jordan Spieth among those at 3 under after a birdie at 10. Also at 3 under, Brian Harman and Hideki Matsuyama. Harman even today through 6. Matsuyama is even through 2 holes. Justin Thomas at 2 under. Thomas at 3 under through 11 today. Cameron Smith from Australia, runner-up a year ago, 2 under for the tournament. Tommy Fleetwood with bogeys at 11 and 13. He's even par, 6 back. Bryson DeChambeau right on the projected cut line at 3 over. From Augusta, I'm Ted Emmerich, Westwood One Sports.
All right, that's our Masters update for this hour. We're back with the V-Show, Fast Break Friday. We've got a few minutes here, guys, to close this show down. What would you like to talk? I think we've covered the wide, wide world of sports today. Right?
Yeah, we're all over the place with that. Well, first off, we got to open up our Ale 8-0. Well, I have zeros. You all have the cherry. Nick, what do you have, the granddaddy?
No, I'm rocking the brand new Ale 8-0 as well. Zero sugar, zero calories, zero aspartame.
We love it. Stuff. All right, let's all open it on there. Let us gingerly, I don't know if that's COVID acceptable, so we are just going to...
Just cheers into the microphone. There you go.
There it is.
We'll drink. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Clink.
Love this cherry stuff. Man.
But yeah, we were talking about it. You were asking Nick about the Reds schedule, and it's funny. I heard something earlier today about just what these cable provider logins. You're trying to watch your Reds, but you have YouTube TV. You can't watch your Reds on there. I have a login, but I can't watch the red sometimes. So I'm just like, what's going on with this whole notion of just we're going to go back to cable? That's exactly what we're going to do.
Watch it on regular TV, Phil.
We're going to have to go back to cable. And here's
crawl back a few years.
Phil
and you can
underscore
watch all the
underscore
Reds
Baker.
Games you
if you need these feeds, you can follow me on Twitter. I can find these feeds. It's no question about that. Boy. But I actually pay money for the basic cable package to have this on there, and I still can't log in for it. It's a whole thing.
Can you let me know where some of those feeds
yes,
are?
Yes, I will send it to you. Phil underscore underscore Baker on Twitter. I'll help you out. Well, I've gotten like four like in the last month, actually. So there's people actually, gracious. The four people that are listening on Sundays that they get to listen to that. But
allegedly, I've had some issues with a couple of mine.
Okay. Yeah. I got a pretty rock solid. I've given Mitch some so he can watch his Cardinals play. Oh, but it's
brought to you by Hightower Men's Clinic. Beautiful.
So, yeah, so you're just trying to watch your Reds, and you can't do it because you have YouTube TV, right?
And they have a disagreement on the value,
oh my God.
The cost of Fox Ohio.
Baseball, and this is my biggest problem with baseball, that they are just stuck in the Stone Age and getting out of their way. They've gotten better with the – and Nick, I know you can speak to this, but – the whole what was the thing with like the social media stuff a few years ago? Yeah, where they wouldn't let them put up clips. It's just like
yeah, they've wrestled more control of their clips than I would say a lot of
the NBA just says let it go. It'll right. spread organic. it'll spread hey. On the interwebs and people will retweet it, share it. That's the goal of it. But baseball is this Stone Age model of just not wanting a highlight that. Mookie Betts mates, and they don't want it to. It has to be under their umbrella, which is the dumbest thing ever.
I would argue that it's even worse because their streaming model is fantastic.
Their streaming
it's
model
so good,
is
it's
great.
So good. The NHL hired the people that did it because they were trying to follow suit. Hey, look, we're not the NFL, we're not the NBA. We got to reach some of these people, just like MLB. NHL is a little bit regionalized, so they tried to get them, and they knock it out of the park. Pun intended.
But that's why I disagree with Phil. I think Major League Baseball is playing chess on this. They take control. Like the NBA, you can get all these highlights, so why do you need to watch the games? Major League Baseball, it's harder per se to get them. I mean, you can still get them, but they've got much more control over it, so it's a little bit harder to get, and it doesn't spread quite as much as the NBA stuff does virally, I would say. I think they're kind of smart because I think they're trying to encourage people to watch games.
Well, I mean, the NBA, if you all followed this NBA Top Shot, have you followed this?
Yeah, yeah.
This is like it's a clip that you can get off YouTube, but it's a multi-billion-dollar business model that's like a blockchain. I don't fully understand it. I've tried to follow it.
Who
but
owns that? Does so the NBA own that?
No. So they've partnered up with it. So it was, oh my goodness, I have
yeah,
the
I
name.
Don't,
it's
don't,
Dapper don't, Labs is out of Vancouver. That
how long
it.
What
before,
an awesome name.
How long before the bubble on that type of stuff burst?
Look, you're still pimping out basketball and baseball trading cards, and I thought that bubble would have.
It completely burst, but it's back.
Yeah, so
and it will burst again.
I don't fully
when
understand
is that gonna
this,
burst?
But like I was talking about the closeout the last hour when we were talking about video games and 2K. Like this is a wild west of trying to understand what's going out there. But there's some 9, 10, 11-year-old kids that are playing 2K nonstop that have all these tokens that fully speak this language. And I think with Major League Baseball, like even if it was an a la carte, I'll spend 99 cents to buy a game. Like if it's a good game on, like that's what I think they should go to. If like partner
that's
up with Amazon
a hell of an idea.
And just say 99 cents, charge it to the account. I'll watch this game. You're not going to watch it ever. But I pay for this on cable, and I still can't watch it when I try to log into my Fire Stick thing.
Watch it on television.
I don't have the cable box upstairs because they're trying to, you know, do a whole thing. I've been able to watch it up until they made the switch from Fox Sports to Bally. So I don't know what's going on.
You can
with
listen
it.
To it right here on ESPN Louisville.
I was going to say, hello,
Tommy
Radio.
And the Cowboy.
There you go.
So, yeah. So I know Mr. Pratt is upset with the YouTube TV. It's just fun. We're just going to go back to the model that was cable. That's the biggest takeaway.
Yeah.
After
that's,
all this. Yeah.
That's what I've always said, because all these, like all the channels that are on cable essentially have created their own streaming service. So how do you, you can't pay for all that. It's all $10 a month. So how do you pay for that?
Well,
all?
The Paramount Plus, like you're getting dangerously close. And you saw it with the SEC ESPN deal. They're going to have, and oh boy, I can't wait to hear these Alabama fans trying to get a hold of ESPN Plus games during their college football
game.
And they're
goodness.
Playing Sister Mary of the Poor. They are going to lose their minds. I would pay an exorbitant amount of money to listen to those voicemails the customer service reps would
man,
have to
that'd
pay.
That'd be audio gold.
Oh, so, but each team is required to be on ESPN Plus with the new, like for one game, for the new SEC ESPN deal. And you know that's going to happen with basketball. Like it was the same thing that happened with ESPN2, ACC Network, SEC Network. It's going to get in rotation. They're going to find out a way to get their money one way or another. I just bundled it all together, and Disney Plus, guess what? Went up a dollar this year. That's what they do. Netflix goes up an extra dollar this year.
Now, ESPN Plus, you've got that into package with Disney?
So Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN Plus, you can get for, I think it was like $12.99 last year, and I think they've gone up a dollar this year, but it's three.
I've had issues. Me and the missus have had issues with that bundle. We got that bundle, and it's I got sick and tired of arguing with it and trying to log in. I just got a separate ESPN Plus package.
Which pisses me off. A texter. You can watch the Reds on vololink.com. V-O-L-O-Link.
All right.
Shout out.
Got it?
I didn't text that in, but boy, do I have that. So I have that saved. Thank you. Yes. So we will shout out to that. But no, we're getting dangerously close to just the model of just going back to cable because it's just going to be easier. You're just have all these games and some are blacked out in this market with YouTube. I can't tell you how many of my friends did the YouTube TV route and they can't watch their game and they're diehard baseball and Reds fans. And even with NBA games, you'll get blacked out for Cleveland. We're 6 hours away from Cleveland.
We were the other night. I was going across and I got blocked out of the Yankees and the Rangers or something like that. I mean, neither one is right around the corner from Louisville, Kentucky, right?
So ESPN Plus has gotten really good with picking up like random. I think it was like the Phillies and the Mets on ESPN Plus via the MLB Network and NHL, and it's Nicky V's wheelhouse. So as we alluded to, we'll talk about it at 156 when we get out. But there's like eight NHL games on ESPN Plus. So you're going to have opportunities to watch these teams. But if you're in market, they make it damn near impossible to watch some of these teams unless you're with Spectrum, which Locke is probably shilling that right out and screaming at his radio if he's listening, or AT&T UVerse, which I thought I have. I can watch it on my cable box, but I can't watch it on my Fire Stick. So it's a whole thing.
Well,
speaking of Locke, we're going to have to get into his golf league. We'll do that locally here. That'll be the local hour.
A la Levitar.
Are you going to play today and the next two, or just the next two?
Well, no, he has a golf fantasy league.
Oh, does
or like
he?
A draft? Ongoing? Yeah, with a bunch of people. It's him and like BTI, Brian the intern.
Locke's got a quarter on.
He's got a couple shekels, but it was who was invited. That was the story. There's like no current ESPN Louisville employees.
Right.
It's Cooper and former intern Braden that maybe five people know that are listening right now.
Yeah, basically.
So he's in like D.C., I think.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. Isn't he like he's got like a real good money job, right? Wasn't he doing like investment stuff or something like that?
So he's not in radio.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No. He got the hell out. He podcasted for like a semester. It was just like, yeah, I'm done with that.
Well, Doom, you know, Dr. Doom, he's his effects of being in or at ESPN Louisville still hang around.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a stench. Cloud.
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Hey, before we get out of here, thanks to George and the Bear Nose team for dropping off lunch here at the ESPN Louisville studios. Thinking lunch or dinner, Bear Nose has you covered tonight and this week. And if you're watching some Masters and a little baseball, you can check it all out, a little NBA. All Bear Nose now delivering alcohol, carry out and delivery to your home. Support local. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza. Had fun, Mr. Pratt. We'll have to do this again. You worked a long shift today. 4 hours,
Francesa,
my friend.
Baby.
I did, and a guy right out here eating ice cream cones.
Yeah.
Man. Did you see that, Nick?
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
We're eating ice cream. It's like Days of Thunder. You're in here doing all this work, and they're just eating ice cream out there.
I want to make a stop. Get some ice cream. We scream. You all scream for ice cream, right? It's been fun, guys.
All right. Appreciate it. We'll see you Monday. Now that you're in, nonstop. Monday. I mean, you worked a long stop, week baby. This week.
I have to go home taking that.
I was going to say, we'll see. Yes, there's nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
Well, Knights of Sidonia. We'll see if Dan Issel likes it.
Oh,
that'll be the
good luck
test.
With that one. But I want to see his face when you play that.
Yeah,
well, DMX on Monday, perhaps, and I'm sure he'll love that
R.I.P.
too.
We'll see you all next Friday. Hopefully, Bobby V is back and healthy. You guys were great. This is Mike Pratt. Thanks for listening.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.